to the US election and the final debate between President Trump and challenger Joe Biden. It took place yesterday, you might have seen it. A more subdued affair than the last one, certainly more dignified. To describe it as a debate might be a stretch, though. April Ryan is the White House correspondent and Washington, D.C. bureau chief for American Urban Radio Networks, and she's with me now. Hi, April.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm well. Do you know what I mean about a stretch to describe it as a debate? I read some comment that seemed to strike a chord with me. It said it was just an aggressive presentation of two different worlds. What do you think?
I never thought of it like that. But and I love to hear what people on the other side of the world or in other countries have to think about it. But I'm going to say this, for many of us here in this country, it was refreshing because that first debate was off the chain. It was too much. We couldn't take it. I left with a headache. President Trump was he was verbally aggressive. Too aggressive. And this time we saw a toned down debate, but they were taking shots at each other. There was a lot of back and forth, and there were a lot of gotcha moments, but there were also moments of President Trump couldn't explain or Joe Biden didn't explain. It was actually the best session of all three of the debates, really. To be quite frank, and we were heralding, celebrating Kristen Welker from NBC for holding it down because the moderators couldn't do it. So no matter what people say, it happened. It was a verbal sparring match that happened. Let's call it that.
She did have the mute button, which I don't know whether she used, but the threat of it was clearly quite useful, right?
Right. She, towards the end, people were like, well, where's the mute button? But she did. I don't think she did, but she was very respectful and she was very strong in how she moved on when they got off topic. And there is something there when you have a president of the United States, number one, period. That's intimidating right there. But then they have Donald Trump on top of that. He is a very intimidating figure on his own. And then, he knows the weight that he carries. He knows who he is. He knows what his presence brings, and he knows how to intimidate you with words, looks, whatever. So, but she has been at that White House as long as Donald Trump has been there, and she knows how to deal with him, and she handled him very well.
I know. She was great, actually. She was excellent.
Yes, she was.
And also the fact that she is Black and able to ask a couple of questions with a great deal of authenticity.
Yes. Yes, she did. And I guess you're talking about the matters of race.
And the talk.
Yes, the talk. And, you know, and Kim, that is something, the talk is something that many Black families in America have had. And it used to be the talk for Black parents to or Black fathers to their boys. That's how it originally started. But now it's Black mothers who a lot of times are the head of their household or both parents talking to not just their sons, but also their daughters. Because like we have the issue with, I'm sorry, my daughter, I'm at home and you can hear my daughter.
Don't you worry.
And I've given my children, my two daughters the talk because it's not just about boys. It's about girls as well. Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor, along with Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, the list goes on. And in 2020, it is so sad to have to say that we're still giving our young Black children the talk because it's not a guarantee that when they leave the home, they will be coming back if they encounter the police. And at issue is being able to stand another day to whatever the problem is the police are accusing you to be able to go to court versus to have street justice, be tried, convicted, and killed, you know, death sentence on the street right then and there versus being able to make your case in the court of law.
I mean, everybody will have their different opinion about who won, Biden, Trump. Let me ask you another way.
The president thinks the president believes he won.
Of course. So. The president believes he's won everything, does he not? He also believes he is the least racist person in the room and has done more for black people than any president since Abraham Lincoln, which is...
Well, wait a minute, but Kim, but there's, right, and there's another piece. Not only is he the least racist person in the room, remember the words right after that? The room is too dark, I can't see. He was looking for his black representative to be his example, to point someone out there, but it was too dark. And a lot of black people were finding that very racially insensitive because of the things said in history. So there was, it wasn't a moment like stand back and stand by, but it was yet racially tinged. And if you knew, you knew. And there are a lot of people upset about that. I know I lost my cool last night, but, who won?
I'm not really asking you who won, because we'd go down a rabbit hole on that one. Who do you think did himself more favors with that?
I think Trump did himself more. I think he did more favors for himself by being human, mm-hmm. by being calm. Because the last time he was bombastic, he was out of control, he was not presidential. And that was the example of the United States. And it was the most embarrassing thing that I had seen. Once you are a leader of a country, you are above reproach. You are supposed to be the most well-thought and smartest person in the room. Well, he looked like an elementary child that first debate. A bombastic bully. That's what he looked like. But he looked more thoughtful. Yeah, he made the faces and stuff. But I mean, the unfortunate thing is we have to now, our gauge is from what he has been to what he is today. And that not necessarily is the best thing either. But compared to what he is and what he has been, he did himself a lot of favors, answering your question. Yes.
I mean, he'd set himself a fairly low bar. Somebody said Trump won. Even though he lied constantly, he did it convincingly, which is quite a good assessment, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. If you know he lied, he did it convincingly. A lie is a lie, whether you're convinced or not. You knew it was a lie, but you kind of say, well, he presented it in a nice way. He presented it on a china plate, fine porcelain instead of a trash can lid. I mean, come on. It's still, if it's hot, steamy, and stinky, whether it's on a dirty trash can lid or on porcelain, it's still hot, steamy, and stinky, right?
Only if people identify it as a lie.
All right, Kim, I like you.
The big lie, April, was that COVID is over, everything's fine. Which is patently nonsense because you've got, over 1,000 deaths a day in the United States. Hospitalizations are up 40%. Is the resurgence of COVID-19 damaging the president, given his nonchalance about it?
Most definitely. That is the albatross around his neck. That is the kryptonite, I believe, if Donald Trump is going to lose the election. The kryptonite is COVID. This president said it was, and Joe Biden gave fact on this, that he said, Donald Trump said that it will be over by Easter. Where are we now? We're in October, getting ready to hit Halloween, and we're still dealing with this. There is a big concern about the cold. People are now going inside. So, and Joe Biden said something so striking. This was the first question about the next phase, you know, what happens with the next phase. And he said, you know, anyone with 220,000 deaths should not be president. 220,000 deaths should not be president. That was resounding and it was poignant. Donald Trump talks about in the next couple of weeks, okay, that there's going to be this effort and the military is going to disperse.
There's going to be a vaccine in a couple of weeks.
Right.
That's right.
And the military is going to disperse it. Well, listen, Kim, as the president is saying this, guess what? You have Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson and other companies that are having problems with their trials, okay? And they're public about it. So no one really wants to be a guinea pig at this moment, just for the sake just for the sake of this president saying, oh, I'm going to win. The rational mind has to think. And this is the part where you said, you know, we knew he lied, but he was convincing. That's not convincing. This is a life or death issue. And not only is it a life or death issue, people have lost their jobs. People are trying to stay in their homes. And then they have not come up with a stimulus package to help the people who are financially hurting. The president and Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, are playing with Democrats about how they're going to do this. And people are hurting in the midst. And we have to remember, politics is not about party. It's about people. And that boils down to humanity. And politics is personal.
I found it very interesting. At one point, Trump said, listen to him. Listen to Joe. He's like all these politicians. Implying
right.
that he, yeah. Trump, is not a politician. And that's always the way he's portrayed himself, isn't it?
So Donald Trump is a ruthless businessman who has brand. The best thing Donald Trump could ever do is brand his name. He understood the name game. He is who he is because of his name. You could say, oh, he's a businessman. Oh, he's a politician. They all kind of make up who Donald Trump is. Yet Joe Biden is a straight politician. 47 years, you know, Donald Trump used that as a badge of dishonor. 47 years, you've had 47 years and you were at the White House. Yes, he's a politician, but yet Donald Trump is also a politician. He began his politics by calling Barack Obama an illegitimate president, which is not true, saying that he was born in Kenya versus being born in you know, the United States.
Sounds a little racist to me, doesn't it?
Sounds a little, okay. So... So Donald Trump has been a politician for 6 years compared to 47. Donald Trump came in politicking that he's going to drain the swamp. Donald Trump, in some sectors, is considered the swamp himself now. You understand what I'm saying? So he wants to make it like, oh, he's a career politician, but I'm not. I'm trying. Your experiment is over. The petri dishes are exploding because of your experiment, your political experiment versus the tried and true experiment.
The point has been made, though, April, that Trump supporters are full of energy, full of vim and vigor and energy. Biden's not so much. Do you think that's not true?
No. The Trump base. Let's talk about the base and then the basement of his base that are fired up. Trump makes certain people feel like he hears them and sees them. And that's been the problem in United States politics, is that no matter how much hope and change you say, no matter what party, there's always going to be someone that feels left out. But now people are looking for unification, and they have to find a way to cover everyone. And I think Joe Biden is right. Trying to make those who feel disenfranchised in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party understand that he's here for them. There is an energy from the basement of the president's base. And I'm going to say this, and some may not like it, but there's an energy from people who have who don't want to see people of color rise up. Okay, there is a group of people who just feel that the president is the most amazing thing. And these are the people that are not like the president. They are, in many cases, low income and people who are not educated. And these are people, I would dare say, this president would not want to come to Trump Tower or come to Trump International. They are his base politically, but not those he wants to in his businesses. Now, on the Democratic side, there is a fire. And I'm going to say this. You see this rah-rah at the crowds at these super spreader rallies. But for Democrats, I'm going to tell you where the rah-rah is. The rah-rah is in the early election. Kim, there are 40 million people at least who have early voted in this country. And the elections are on November 3rd. Now, mind you, every state and territory has a different way of voting, okay, different rules. But there are states that are already voting. We are breaking record numbers. And typically, early voting goes to Democrats. So I would say you see more of the fire at the rallies from the president's base. But there is a fire in the belly of those on the Democratic side who you don't see at these rallies, but you see them going to the polls because they're voting like their life depends on it. Everything is at stake in this election.
What worries people is that they are voting against Trump. They're not necessarily voting for Joe Biden.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I've heard so many people, anybody but Trump. And that's true because so many people have lost so much and so much is on the line. You work so hard and then you have someone who just doesn't understand or plays politics. I mean, for instance, he's running around thinking he's Superman after he gets out of the hospital, but he gets drugs that no one else gets. And if those drugs are offered, they're going to be way expensive. Insurance companies may not cover it. His reality is not every man's reality. Okay. And not only his reality, but his way of thinking, his revisionist way of thinking. This president has divided this nation more than I've seen in a long time.
But be honest, Greg, April, be honest. Would you not rather Trump had a better oppositional candidate than Joe Biden?
So be honest. I'm always honest, but let's say this. The pulse of the nation is discontent. The pulse of the nation is we need something different. Right now in the polls, this man is an incumbent, but he's dealing with national issues in the worst way. He's challenging people. He's calling the coronavirus the China virus. He's not, our elections are sacred to us. He's not going after Russia. He's not going after anybody really, because he wants to win. He's allowing other countries to infiltrate into what is sacred to us, Russia, China, and Iran. That's what we're hearing right now. And that's not okay. So right now, it's anybody better. And I'm going to say this, Joe Biden, I'm not going to knock Joe Biden. I'm not going to knock him. Could we have a better candidate? Yes. I'm not going to knock him, and I'm not going to knock Kamala. The Democratic Party put them at the forefront. But what I will say is, whenever it's like, oh, isn't there somebody better? Joe Biden has been in politics and understands how to be diplomatic when diplomacy, when peace is needed. He's not ready to start calling people names and calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man and calling the coronavirus the China virus. He's not that person. He's about diplomacy, and he also knows at the same time when it comes to, and he believes in building relationships around the world, keeping our allies as our allies, not making friends of our enemies. And he also knows how to work with Congress for the better good of people, all people, not just the base, not just white men, the base, not just the base, but everyone. Kamala Harris, she is a senator. She's a senator in the largest, one of the largest states in the nation. She's a lawyer. She has worked with presidents. I mean, she understands the dynamic, and she is that person that's going to be transformational in this moment of not only Corona, but in this moment of racial reckoning. And when this current president puts down every woman that challenges him or is strong and intelligent. So we are in the midst of transformation on almost every level. America needs change. And the question is, at this moment, do we make the change that takes us back to a time that we don't want to go back to with Donald Trump? Or do we sit in this moment where you have two people who understand how to run the ship when the other person was just running in the rocks and said, okay, well, we'll fix it later on? The
What
bottom line is the choice is clear. And whoever, go ahead, I'm sorry.
are the polls saying? Because the point has been made that while Biden does look ahead in a number of places, so did Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Right. So here's the thing. But Kim, we never had this record number. I'm telling you, a couple of days ago, when it was at 9 million people, 9.5 million people voting, we had 1.6 million at that time voting. We're now 46 million, 40, 41 million, excuse me, people who have already voted, at least 41 million in early votes. And we're still not finished because Election Day is November 3rd. And that's actually my 12-year-old daughter's birthday, believe it or not. So the polls are showing that Joe Biden is leading nationally. He's leading in all the battleground states except for Texas and Ohio. And it's close in like states like Florida and things of that nature. But there are various paths for Joe Biden to win. There is a level of discontent in this nation that we have not seen. Last time, you know, we couldn't call it. But, and you know, I said the polls were wacky last time. But I think if we find out about that, that there's a group of 7 million voters that voted who didn't vote last time, okay? And we don't know which way they voted. They are kind of the key. They're the connecting piece to this. So 7 million voters in this country who didn't vote the last election, we don't know where they're voting, which way they're voting. So, but the construct of early vote pretty much is a Democratic thing. But you got a lot of people on the other side that's invigorated. So we've got to wait and see. And I'm going to tell you, I'm with you on the polls. I'm telling you what the polls are showing. I'm telling you what I've seen from realclearpolitics.com. And they're a conservative organization, but I love their polling. But I'm going to say this, Donald Trump could win the Electoral College, but I do believe if he does, but I do believe Joe Biden will have more votes. But the issue is the numbers of the Electoral College. But, you know, right now, Joe Biden has the state of Florida that has been pivotal. You know, Al Gore lost Florida and his home state when he went up against George W. Bush. He lost Tennessee and Florida, and that really did him in. Barack Obama won Florida. Let's see if Joe Biden will.
Let's just talk about the Supreme Court for a moment. It's crucial to your system, of course, and it seems that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be confirmed, maybe Monday, Tuesday. Joe Biden said he's going to conduct a review of the Supreme Court system, of the court system. What does he mean?
So right now, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. If you remember at the end of President Barack Obama's term, there was a seat on the Supreme Court left open. And there was a vacancy. And Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, said, no, no, we have to wait until after the election. So in all fairness, you know, people said, no, no, we should do it. Well, guess what happened? They waited till the next election. And Donald Trump wound up doing it. And that was a couple months out. That was like 8 to 11 months out. Now we're how many days? Well, 11 days today. 11 days a day, and they're talking about confirming someone. The people who were saying, no, we can't set a precedent, are now playing these political games. So the trust factor is an issue right now with the Republicans who are enabling this president to do whatever they want. And Amy Coney Barrett, once she's confirmed, the court will lean right. The court will lean very right. We are now missing on the court someone who looks like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We're now missing on the court someone who looks like Thurgood Marshall. So there has been a call to expand the number of justices. And, you know, Joe Biden wants to do a study so that people can see. You have to sometimes give people the facts so that they can digest it, because people don't want to mess with their institutions. And expanding it, oh, how dare you? Well, because of the games that were played before, you have people like Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who I talked to yesterday. He said, I think if Joe Biden wins, he said, all options are on the table. Chuck Schumer said that to me. So he said, all options are on the table if Joe Biden wins. So we may have a study if Joe Biden wins, but I guarantee you they're going to start pushing to pack the court.
But I mean, if Biden expands the number of justices, then the next Republican regime will expand them once again. I mean, where will it end?
I know. When does the cycle end? Right. This has become such a tit for tat almost. There has been a lot of foul game playing over the last at least 12 years. Well, you know, I've been doing it for 23 years. I've seen a lot of different things happen, but I've also seen more unity. I saw more unity under the Clinton years than I see Now I saw more unity under the Clinton years than I saw with the Bush years. And it got worse with Barack Obama. And now the divide, I mean, they don't even talk together. Both sides don't even come together to talk. So it's just, it's bad. I mean, they cannot agree. When is the last time Nancy Pelosi was at the White House? It was a year. So this is horrific. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. Politics is not about party, it's about the people. And the people are suffering because they cannot come together. They can't get along, and they cannot come together on basic issues to help the people that voted them into power. And Kim, power means service. And people are not being served right now.
Very good to talk to you, April. Thank you. I wish you an interesting election on November the 3rd. Huh. April Ryan.
Interesting mean?
Yeah.
What does interesting mean?
As the Chinese say, as White House correspondent and Washington, D.C. bureau chief for American Urban Radio Networks.